As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. Big day on multiple fronts. Big day on multiple fronts. Jeffy and I are going to try not to get in a fist fight today, so that'll be change from yesterday. And then we also, did you hear, Jeffy, after the show, I got a disturbing message from Charles Fishman. He does not like English muffins.
Well,
who the hell, what is there to not like about an English muffin?
But is this because in his core he's a bagel guy?
I understand that you can have a preference and a loyalty for a bagel.
But I think
he affirmatively does not like English. It's like my Bills guy, so I don't like the Pats.
Yeah, I think when you're a bagel, because like, everyone is out.
I'm a bagel guy. I love bagels.
I know, but everyone's out to get, but you're not.
If I could only eat one of those bread stuffs in the next however many years I have, I'd take the bagel.
But I think when you're in the locked up in the battle of we're all taking on big biscuits.
Right.
I would imagine there's something in the wiring there.
We're all taking on big biscuits. I also got, and I haven't been able to respond because I'm not on TikTok, blessedly, but a band sent me a cut of a song they do. Yesterday, for those who weren't listening, shame on you, first of all. Second of all, it was National English Muffin Day yesterday. A band sent me their hit song, English Muffin.
Mm.
And I appreciated
that. Ripping up the charts.
I appreciated that. And I will listen to it as soon as I can figure out. As soon as I decide. TikTok doesn't let you just, at least
correct
me, just
yeah, no,
watch
I,
TikTok
I, I have
without
the same
TikTok.
Issue.
So
open the app.
Big
sign
day
up for TikTok.
Big day on many metas. Chinese people aren't going to get me to do that. I'm not going to fall for that.
Yeah.
Big day on multiple fronts, and it's really a difficult thing for me because I love a Grizzlies playoff game, man. I love a Grizzlies playoff game. And the Grizzlies tonight, Oklahoma City, FedEx Forum, Growl Towels. And so we may not have many of these left, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
So it appears like this is a massive game tonight. If they're going to win, this would be their best shot tonight. But then we got the NFL draft. My favorite day of the year. Now, it used to be my favorite day of the year when it was a Saturday and it was 7 rounds. Now, it's a little disappointing. It's 1 round stretched over a whole evening, and then we get 2 and 3 tomorrow, and then we get 4 and 7 Saturday. I don't know which is the best draft day.
So, I mean, tonight is obviously always fun because it's still the first round. You have the guys there.
It's the scene.
There's no question it's too long. I personally think Friday's criminally underrated.
Well, Friday is Saturday is for, at that point,
it's just junkies because they're not even going over pick by pick. Exactly. It's a lot of just.
That's the thing. The coverage is not even pick by pick coverage anymore. They'll catch
you're just watching a ticker.
You're just, yeah. And then you're having just features or analysis or whatever, like you would see any other day on NFL Network. I think tomorrow is a pretty big day because you get really good players. and you get two rounds of it, right?
And so, it's mostly, it's guys that you largely know.
Yeah, it's like.
And
yeah.
it's guys that are it's probably going to play.
It's certainly you been following the draft.
Yeah.
You, even if you didn't know them, whatever, the guard from where the hell he's from, some.
North Dakota State,
thank
usually.
You. Yes, North Dakota's right. And can we agree the best draft ever was the COVID draft?
That was a pretty good one. Last year got pretty nuts when starting at pick eight,
when the Falcons
end up taking Penix, like that was a pretty,
it was
like,
a lot of action. Detroit, the scene in Detroit was great. Like that was great. I go COVID A, cause we needed it.
Yes. We needed something.
We needed something. And B was, and we had the
players' homes was
everyone
funny.
Home. Yeah. We had all the coaches' home. We had Belichick and we had Goodell in his basement. We had, you know, all of that stuff.
That's a really nice house for Tua.
Yeah. So, anyway, massive day today. I'll be at FedEx Forum, but I'll be honest, I'll have the draft on somewhere. You can figure it out however you like. Today on the radio show, oh my goodness, we have a lot to talk about between all of that that we just mentioned. But then there's news from Ed Scott talked yesterday. We got more news from the portal. We got the house settlement that has been...
What settlement?
Again, postponed. We got Love in the Air with Tiger Woods. I don't know when that... I just noticed it today. Well, when did that happen?
We don't talk about that. He asked for privacy.
It was an odd... We'll get into that, too.
Yeah.
He did ask for privacy. We had an AutoZone Park a story from Sam Hardiman over at the Daily Memphian. In the midst of all the draft stuff, we got the continuing Shador Sanders controversy. We got more NBA playoffs, including an injury to Jimmy Butler and a loss by the Warriors. So we do have a whole lot to get into.
I hate that.
Plus, well, we don't root for injuries,
no,
Jeffrey.
No,
we don't root for
don't.
Injuries. It doesn't seem like it's debilitating, though. It might hurt him in this series, and who knows.
I mean, he is getting an MRI.
And there are doctors on the internet, which, why wouldn't you trust them?
I always do.
They say it could be serious. Is it a coccyx? Easy for me to say, or is that, what's that? Where's that?
I thought it was hip, correct?
Is it hip? Is it tailbone? Is it hip? Or is it tailbone? I thought it was tailbone.
So pelvis.
Pelvis.
Let's see.
Didn't look like it hurt, I'll say that.
Well, yeah, I mean, anytime.
Anytime you fall from 8 feet and land smack on your back on a hardwood floor would seem like it would hurt. I have to say, I tried desperately to blame Draymond Green for that. I could not.
Yeah, but
I tried.
The spirit's always there.
I tried my best, and some were able to pull it off on the interwebs. They were able to blame Draymond Green for that, and I slowed it down, and I looked at it from every angle I possibly could, and I wanted Draymond Green to have been the person responsible.
In fairness, Draymond usually doesn't hurt his own guys.
He punches them.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
He does. He's been known to punch
them. But that was also because Jordan Poole wasn't living up. He wasn't really a warrior.
Anyway, so we do have a lot to get to. Plus, given that it's Thursday, it's Right of the Night Trivia. And by the way, this is a special Right of the Night Trivia because next week there's no right.
Correct.
Which is going to be.
There's actually no trivia next week.
Which is going to put a hell of a damper on the entire proceedings because Jeffrey is taking a well deserved week off. Mind you, only from my show.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen in the afternoons, you'll still be able to get full Jeffrey.
Well, it's hard for me to produce your program when I'm not.
I know,
physically
for me not
here,
at,
yeah.
the, at the thing. I'm not at all. I think you should be also taking off your show, but you're not because of your work ethic.
Well,
no anonymous scout would slander you, Jeffrey.
Oh, I'm sure they would.
So there's no Right and Then Right trivia next week. So this is your last time in a little bit. Do we have a fabulous prize?
We do, Jeff. We have tickets to tonight's game 3. So you will get tickets to tonight's game three. If you also want to get tickets, grizzlies.com/playoffs.
Grizzlies.com/playoffs as well. Tickets are available. We'll get to the draft. We'll get to everything. Let's just start with the Grizz real quickly. I did a little bit of research and I was kind of stunned. Listen, this is grim. I think we could all admit. Like, it's not just, it's the combination of things. It's the way the regular season ended, right?
Yep.
It's the fact that even at its zenith, this team seemed slightly problematic, right? We all had quibbles. Then the collapse at the end of the season, then the coach firing, and then you get a chance against the Warriors and the Lakers. Who else? Oh, and Minnesota to prove yourselves and
Denver.
And whiffing on all fronts there. And so you find yourself where you find yourself. You did steady yourself with the win over Dallas, and then you get absolutely eviscerated in the first two games against Oklahoma City. And so you come back 0-2 for a Thursday night late tip. And people are wondering how many people will be in the building. And I think that's a fair thing to wonder. It is playoff basketball. Playoff basketball is intense. The atmosphere can be wild. Last Friday was great fun. But I looked, Jeffrey, and I gotta say, I was surprised to discover that since the Grizzlies have been in Memphis, like this seems like, oh, this is grim. This isn't what the playoffs are supposed to be like here at 0-2, whatever. There have literally been seven other times.
Yeah, I saw this in your story.
Didn't the number surprise you?
Seven times they've
returned here down 0-2.
Yes. I was like, that feels hot.
Seems like a lot, right?
Of course, I guess the problem with that is most of us ignore the first three series.
Well,
that loads it up.
And I think you can argue that none of them felt as futile at this point. Like, for example, the first 0-2, you're just truly happy to be there.
What is this?
Right. Well, it's just magic, right? So there was no discontent. It was a franchise finally being in the playoffs. Indeed, I would argue that one of the truly great Memphis moments in Memphis basketball history was before Game 3 in 2004 when Hubie gets the Coach of the Year award. And back then, growl towels were white, and they were twirled with such vigor. And let's be honest, they were constructed so poorly that the entire pyramid was a snow globe.
Yes, that was a great line in
your column. Of white lint. It was ridiculous. And so that sweep was, okay, well, we're just happy to be here. The next sweep, which was a Sun sweep, was a little more, okay, couldn't we finally get a win here? And then the next sweep, which was the Mavs sweep, was discouraging. And honestly,
truly,
it was truly discouraging. And it was after that one, I believe, that the Jason Williams blow up at me happened. Like it was frustration, you know. And then after that, they go into a long period of missing the playoffs. Although, and I've said this before, 10 playoff seasons in 24 years, like you've got it good here in Memphis. We've had it good here in Memphis. But so then others. Now, Jeffrey, here's the question. How do you view the, because one of the sweeps was the
Jaeger.
No, it was the final sweep.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that? Like that was a sweep, but you, in order to get there, you were in the freaking finals.
Yeah, I blame Popovich for the full hockey line change when the Grizzlies in Game 3 were up like 20, and then
what happened?
Yeah, remember he was just so disgusted. He was so disgusted.
The Grizzlies were up 20 in game 3 and lost.
Yes, and then he just did the hockey line switch. Like he's like, all of you on the floor, get off. And then from that point forward, the Spurs controlled the game.
There were, in some of these sweeps, some great moments. The one that I mentioned before with Hubie. And then there were two OTs. There was in 06 against the Mavs. Game 3 went to OT. And game 3 this is the game you're talking about, the line change. Did you recall that went to OT?
Yes.
That also went to OT.
But so, they were both those games were very similar in the sense that when they went to OT, you're like, this is a loss.
They were like the Tigers in Kansas.
Yeah, you knew. Like this.
So there were two great OT games, game threes there. And then twice in these five, in the seven times that the Grizzlies have come back before, down 0-2, they have won game three twice. Once was the Fizdale Spurs series.
Yep.
The Not Gonna Rook Us series. So you go down to San Antonio. You feel like you're actually competitive with that Spurs team, right? It wasn't.
No, I mean, each team won their two home games, and then
So then they came back, and they did what, you know, you're supposed to do. You take care of your home court, yep. We'll take care of ours. And so that's what the Grizzlies did. They came back in game three, and they won game three.
The Zebo had the big game.
And then game four was
an all-time great game.
And then they lose game five and come back and lose game six.
Yep.
Kawhi is magnificent in that series. So that was one. And then, of course, there was the Magic, absolutely Magic series against the Clippers in 2013. That's where you lose the first two, much like you did to Oklahoma City just now, Jeffrey. I'm trying to set it up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You lose the first two. Everyone thinks you're beaten. Really discouraging. You come back, you win game three. You win game four. You go to L.A., you win game five, and you come back and win game six.
Hey, yo, Blake.
What's the best series in Grizzlies history?
That's my favorite.
Better than Spurs first? Better than the first win over the Spurs?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the first with the Spurs is it was just like, oh, my God. But in terms of, like, I didn't hate the Spurs the same way that I hated the Clippers. Like, that Clippers team was exceptionally unlikable.
No, there was more venom.
Yes.
Here in the first series that they ever won against the Spurs, there was just stunned delight, right? Just giddiness over, my God, this is fun. We're beating the Spurs.
Can you believe we're here?
But you didn't actually hate the Spurs.
No, there was actually still a respect for them.
The Clippers series, there was pure venom.
And it was honestly, like, that's the other thing about the Spurs. Like, okay, yeah, they had, Manu was banged up, and, like, there were reasons. The Clippers really felt like a gladiator match. Like, it was best on best. It was these two teams don't like each other. They had built up a true rivalry with one another, and there's just something about vanquishing them in a playoff series.
How much do you, in terms of other great series that we have experienced, I'm going to go ahead and say the two series against Oklahoma City, the one that they lost and the one that they won, which is the one that, like, overtime every single time. That was the one they won.
They won in five, and then I think of the five games, I think four went to OT or something like that.
The Grizzlies won it. That was in the Western Conference final year.
That's 2013. Right.
Yes. That was 2013. But I'll say the 2011 where you lost to Oklahoma City, unbelievable series.
Absolutely.
And then 2013 where you beat Oklahoma City, unbelievable series. Those were both magnificent series. So I guess my point would be, I don't expect this team to win tonight. I certainly don't expect them to win the series, and I didn't before the series began. And this has been a hugely disappointing belly flop of an end to the season. But if there is going to be a fun night left, it might well be tonight. Tonight would be the night you would think. Home crowd, go get the win. And as I wrote in today's column, the whole... And it got a little hokey, I'll be honest. But the whole Believe Memphis stuff, it came at a time, it wasn't because people were like, because Memphis was rolling. The whole Believe Memphis stuff came at a time when Memphis, like, the moment that everyone talks about that people remember was in game three against Oklahoma City back in that, in the series in 2011. They had the Believe Memphis towels out in the third quarter. They, instead of just spinning the towels, they're held up in this wall of defiant hope and defiant belief. And at the time, they were down by double digits. It wasn't inspired because everything was great. It was Memphians saying, you know what? We can do this. And despite the fact that everything wasn't great, that's when belief matters, right? Belief doesn't matter when everything's rolling. pretty easy for Chiefs fans to be believing these days. It gets a little thinner at these times for the Grizzlies. So I do hope that there is a good crowd tonight. I do know that the players appreciate it, and I also know that the franchise could use a little momentum going into this offseason. It is true. Like today, I was reading Hollinger, Jeffrey. He was doing his autopsy of the Hawks, right?
Yep.
And he was discussing whether it was time to trade Trae Young. And in the course of discussing whether it was time to trade Trae Young, basically pointing out that there's probably not much value to Trae Young. He doesn't have what you might think. You know, this isn't going to be when the Thunder traded Paul George to the Clippers and got, you know, everything. So this is what he said. The more tantalizing possibility might be a player-for-player change of scenery move. Young for, say, LaMelo Ball or Ja Morant, two other young, talented lead guards on big contracts whose trade interests might not match their brand names.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's the kind of thing.
Yeah, no, that's what happens.
That's what happens.
I mean, you got to shake it up somehow.
When your core doesn't feel like it's good enough, and yesterday we discussed good enough for what? That's the question. Good enough to be...
Well, I actually think that's a big part of, like, when we talk about why this season's not felt fun, I do think to a certain degree, this is the first time we've looked at these three and realistically asked ourselves, are they good?
Are they good enough? And Chris, then, 100%, that to me is what is most discouraging about this series. It's that, okay, I know that the supporting cast is a total wipeout in terms of the level of player that the Thunder have. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you look at this, you got Zach Edey, a rookie, and Scottie Pippen, a two-way guy, former two-way guy a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Those are your starters.
Two-way guy until October 15th.
Oh, yeah. Those were your starters.
Yeah.
And then you got to play guys beyond that. And so it was a total failure of putting good enough players around the core. But the most depressing thing is it causes you to think, is this core good enough? And then we get into the question, what is good enough? For Chris Harrington, it is to be a competitive playoff team, I think is how he phrased it.
I think it was 50 games and a 50-game winner.
And a competitive playoff team. And is it? And so we'll head into the offseason, and all those questions will be asked. They'll be asked about Zach Kleiman. They'll certainly be asked about Isolo. They'll be asked about the roster. Again, I don't know anyone. Occasionally I'll have people say they have to get veteran wing help like it's some revelation. I literally don't know anyone who doesn't think that's true. Like, I don't know anyone who wouldn't vote for additional veteran wing help. But tonight at FedEx Forum, so we shall see. And again, on Rider Than Right Trivia, we will be giving away two tickets, Jeffrey.
Indeed.
To
Game 3, baby.
Tonight's game. We also had the news yesterday that John Morant's lawsuit was dismissed. Maybe that's a positive omen, Jeffrey.
I didn't know it was still going on.
I vaguely remembered it was still going on, but so she had to rule.
So maybe I confused when she ruled that he could use self-defense.
Yeah, that was
I think in my mind, I was like, well, that's that.
Yeah. I think that was sort of effectively that, but now she dismissed the lawsuit. So maybe we'll even see a unbridled Ja Morant, given that the lawsuit, has been, dismissed. So, we got all that, to celebrate. Elsewhere in the NBA, it is interesting. You just think here, you're uniquely suffering, but like, the Heat are down 2-0. Orlando's down 2-0. And this is what happens. Every year, whether it's in the NHL right now, there's great series. And Then there's dud series. And they're like, can we get on to the next one? Don't you feel like with Boston and Cleveland, you're already there with those?
Oh, yeah, because Tatum didn't even play.
But I
don't know. I have the East in a different category. It's like, wake me up when Boston and Cleveland play.
Okay. How do you feel about Rockets Warriors? Obviously, Jimmy Butler goes out. He is undercut by Amen Thompson. Did you blame anyone, or was that just bad luck?
I thought it was bad luck, but obviously I'm not going to take If it's a coin flip, I'm never going to side with the Warriors.
If you were to try to say that Amen Thompson did something bad and reckless and whatever, what would you
undercut.
Say?
It is the undercut. Like, he just going...
But he wasn't intentionally... He was very clearly not intentionally undercutting him. He lost his footing. Now, what the hell was he doing? What was he doing? He was just trying to get... Draymond was blocking him out, and he was trying to go around him. And what seemed to me is he tripped over Steven Adams, and Draymond's kind of feet were a little crossed there, and he lost his footing. And that's why he undercut him. I honestly don't think it was evil on the part of bad on the part of, I don't think there's anyone to blame for that. It's just happened.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say, I mean, first off, we know he obviously broke the code because he did,
obviously.
Like, when you watch it, I mean, you could make the argument he throws his body pretty recklessly.
That's the thing. He kind of threw his body recklessly.
But
aren't you supposed to? Don't you want your players?
He was following his own miss.
Right. You want to recklessly follow your own miss. Yeah. I mean, don't you want your players to recklessly dive on the floor, right?
Again, I'm not the right person to ask. I think it's bad luck, but...
I think it's bad luck. Yeah, my sense was it was bad luck. We also had the news yesterday that Will Barton retired after an 11-year career. Did you look up Will Barton's total earnings? Look up Will Barton's total earnings. Let's see. It seems like he has done pretty well for himself. And I would say that I think, I mean, we knew Will.
Do we want to guess?
Sure. I'll guess. 11 years. The question for me is whether it's more than $100 million. And I say... $112 million.
A little disappointing. Only $81 million.
Oh, that's sad.
He did not make $1 million until year four when he was with the Nuggets.
Didn't he get one pretty big contract? And then I guess I assumed on either the front end and the back end he would have gotten some smaller ones.
The Nuggets.
What was his biggest a year? 13, 14 a year?
His total, yeah. He got 11, 11, 9. 11, 9, 13, and then his last year of his Nuggets deal was $15
million. Relentless basketball player at the University of Memphis and had a long NBA career. So good for him. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we will talk about what Ed Scott said yesterday. We'll talk about more portal news, and we will talk about the NFL draft, including the Shedeur Sanders stuff that sort of has been... I don't know, captivating or polarizing or whatever.
I mean, it is.
People are saying bad things.
It is noteworthy. I get it. He's a different type of star. But this is the Shedeur draft, and we have no idea where he's going.
That's an interesting point.
Like, that's the biggest intrigue.
Yeah, we'll get into that when we return. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. If you're buying a diamond ring, the place to go is Robert Irwin Jewelers. I'll point you first to the peace of mind guarantee. So you go in there, you buy this ring. It's stunning. It's beautiful. You're really happy. And then she breaks your heart. You know what happens? She runs off with an Instagram model, Jeffrey. And she herself is an Instagram model.
Mm.
And so, of course, you know, they flock together.
Yes, influencers.
And influencers, they influence each other. And and there you've got this ring. What do you do with this ring? Thankfully, she gave it back. And they got the meant-to-be guarantee at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
No sweat off your back.
Or here's what happened. You're a guard for the University of Memphis,
mm-hmm.
and you're offered a very hefty NIL package. But then you put yourself and you buy a ring because you're in love.
Sure.
And then you buy a ring, and you get $4 million extra, and you want a bigger ring.
Right.
You say, you know what? I'm going to go back because I got the meant-to-be guarantee. The whole process of shopping for an engagement ring, which can be very nerve-wracking, I can tell you, with the meant-to-be guarantee, plus the way they treat you at Robert Irwin Jewelers, the way they walk you through it, all the pressure's off. I could go through all the other ways, that all the other reasons, including Howie's absolute passion about diamonds, the biggest, brightest diamonds, including natural diamonds and lab-grown diamonds. But go in to see for yourself. They got 24 months deferred interest, take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. It's Robert Irwin Jewelers, rijewelers.com. All right, Jeffrey, so Shedeur Sanders is being ripped. You've heard this, right?
How could you not?
How could you not? And it just struck me. This is from Tom Pelissero's story at the NFL Network is where this has been, is where these quotes came from. And what struck me was, first of all, I said, didn't this happen to some other quarterback? Like, hasn't this happened before? And it turns out it happens all the time. This is a story as old as time. Quarterback gets ripped. There's two parts to the story. Quarterback gets ripped by anonymous coaches, and then media people come out and say what BS it is that this person is getting ripped anonymously.
Right.
Right.
It's an ecosystem.
So I give you, back in Kyler Murray's draft, 2019, Kyler Murray was ripped by anonymous team executives. Charlie Casserly, not anonymously, talked about major concerns with his character, right? And so what do you have? Then you have the blowback. Here's Stephen A. Smith. Because of a few words from some anonymous weak punk scout or official for an NFL team who's going to talk about this kid behind his back, clearly trying to sabotage him, you could go on the airwaves and speak emphatically and vehemently as if you have firsthand knowledge about the denigrating words you said about this young man. I think it's egregious. I think it's egregious. I think it's unfair. So this just happens like all the time. There is the this. And so then the other thing I did is I went over and I looked at the story. And what you see reading the story is it is literally 50 quotes about him. Like it's an accumulation of everything that Tom Pelissero has heard from about Shedeur Sanders. And a lot of this stuff is Shedeur is a really, really talented passer. There's that one. He has everything you need to play and get the time you need to play in this league. He's got the ability to throw to all three levels. He's good on the ball out, quick passing game, can move around, tough as all get out. He'll take hits and just hop up and it doesn't really faze you him. That's impressive. Let's see, more stuff. If you look at just the wow throws, he's got probably the best collection of those over the whole entire crop, someone says. And on and on and on about great stuff. And then there's also bad stuff, right? It's people in particular wonder about the ecosystem. Basically, that he's been treated differently. You know, he's been treated differently because his coach has always been his dad. Right.
Yep.
And how is that going to play? You can't have your dad saying, "I'm going to come put on a quarterback coach on blast who said you were arrogant, whatever." So he can't be criticized. But then it seems like his teammates like him. They back him even with all the limelight stuff going on in a different card of the game. It seems like they back him, et cetera. Then when you hear all the anecdotal stories about the person, it's not that he's a bad kid. He's been so insulated. It's going to be a culture shock when he really learns how a locker room really operates and how it really works inside of a building. He had so much input on the offensive game plan and who the coach is, and everything's been catered to him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have the one quote that has been highlighted. "The worst formal interview I've ever seen in my life. He's so entitled. He takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He has horrible body language. He blames teammates. But the biggest thing is he's not that good." Okay. Another person, by the way, right after that, another AFC executive said, "Didn't go great in our interview. He wants to dictate what he's going to do and what's best for him. He makes you feel small," etc. So I have to say that having read it all, I don't have a big problem with it. If you put it in the context of 50 different coaches who have 50 different opinions, you know what's interesting? To me, what is interesting about this in the media ecosystem is that people just went and found the one most damning quote and said, "Can you believe this? They're saying this about a young man." Let me give you the Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart. Jackson's Dart stuff. Like, there's good stuff about Jackson Dart, too.
Put in the Florida game.
Let's see. "He makes all the throws. He's got everything you want. But then he just says some dumb things. I think if you put him in the right system and use his athletic traits and his toughness and let him throw the ball 20, 25 until he learns the game more, you could have something. But this could really be Will Levis 2.0. There's a lack of maturity to his game. Some of the flash and swagger with the face paint, the chest beating. He's a guy you're going to have to have bumpers around. He's going to need coaching. Hey, you look at his last game against Duke. His own coach said he's a knucklehead. And he checks to a pass and throws. Then he checks to a pass and throws another touchdown. You're going to have to rein him in. about the offense he ran. I could teach my dog to effing run those concepts.
Yeah.
Then there's all sorts of great stuff. Like people said, sometimes you look at the throws and you're like, holy crap, who made that throw? And then you go realize literally all of these pieces about each quarterback have 50 quotes, most of which are good, some of which are bad.
Yeah, because these quarterbacks are all
and people have
flawed.
Different opinions on them, and they're all flawed.
And there was also, like, if you go back to last year with Caleb, there was negative stuff. Even with Jaden Daniels, like, yeah, he was great with LSU, but you and I would be good throwing to those receivers.
Now there is a you know, there's a question, and I think it's a fair one, as to whether questions about maturity, intelligence, all of that stuff pop up more frequently around black quarterbacks. And so whether there is underneath this some assumptions that are pernicious and you know, because the quarterbacks that you just ticked off,
sure.
Right? Whatever. Like, were there those about Peyton Manning? I don't have the Peyton Manning one. Were there ones about Ryan Leaf? Were there ones about Will Levis and his processing? I suspect there were a lot of Will Levis. So I don't totally discount that. And I think they can sort of take root or have they can feel more pernicious when they are about a black quarterback, because we know that black quarterbacks were discriminated against and treated differently forever and ever and ever. And so I think that is part of what plays into this. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, if you look at Cam Ward, the quotes are more favorable.
Yes.
And he's a black quarterback, and he has, but like, whatever. And then you look at Jackson Dart, and people call him a knucklehead.
Yeah.
This is, when you have anonymous quotes, and I personally, as a consumer of them, I enjoy them.
Oh, yeah, no.
I like getting people's unvarnished opinions. If it was all piling on the kid, and it wasn't. You know what was piling on? The piling on was literally focusing on this one quote as opposed to all the other quotes that were in there, half of which were positive, in order to get clicks. Because, oh, people are saying Shedeur Sanders is the worst ever. Yes, they're also saying he literally makes the most wow throws of any quarterback in the bunch.
Yeah, this is all... This is what comes with the territory of being Shedeur Sanders.
It comes with the territory of being Shedeur. It honestly comes with the territory. Like right now, hell, in the draft process, you got to strip naked in your underwear.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what happens. People have all, you put yourself up on this, and it is, feels like a meat market because it kind of is a meat market. And so you're going to get criticized, and people are going to say you have short arms or that you don't process well enough or that you're a prima donna or whatever else. And so it doesn't mean, like Charlie Castle. Here's the question. Is Charlie Cassidy right or wrong about Kyler Murray? Kyler Murray has had a very up and down time in the NFL, including continuing questions about
maturity.
Maturity.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it was all wrong. Honestly, yeah. Doesn't seem like it was all wrong. So there you go. I think the point that you made about this draft is interesting, though. It is the shush. Have we ever had a draft that is, in the end, about one player? There's one player who there's the most intrigue and interest in, and we don't have any idea where that player is going to go.
So I was racking my brain during the break. The only other name I could think of, but I don't think this is in the same category, was Manziel.
Oh, I think that's right. And Manziel was bigger.
Correct. He was a bigger phenomenon.
He was a bigger phenomenon. Why? Because the team? Because he was in the SEC? He was doing it in the SEC? Why was he a bigger phenomenon?
He won the Heisman. And his style of game was a lot.
How much did people actually watch Colorado? This year?
Less than last year. His style of play is so much more exciting than Shador's is. Like Shador's a pretty disciplined quarterback. Like, he largely plays within structure. Manziel never played within structure.
Yeah, you're right. I think we knew he would go in the first round. That's kind of similar. We knew he would go in the first round.
But you knew he wasn't going to be you knew he wasn't going to be number one. You didn't know where he was going to go in the first round, but you thought he was going to be a first rounder.
Other guys who've dropped, as you said, like Aaron Rodgers, we didn't know he would drop. It became the Aaron Rodgers draft. We didn't know it would be the Aaron Rodgers.
Brady Quinn was kind of the same thing.
And Brady Quinn was boring.
Yeah, but it was the Notre Dame quarterback that was, you know.
By the way, speaking of Notre Dame quarterbacks and anonymous quotes about Riley Leonard, reading. They said he's tough, he's smart, he's whatever. He just can't throw it in the effing ocean.
Yeah,
like these quotes are totally unvarnished.
No,
that's what they are.
I mean, I was screaming about it when people were trying to plug his pro day. Oh, so much for can't throw 51 of 55 at his pro day. He was throwing on air. Unscripted routes.
I'll tell you what I was most offended by the Tom Pelissero story. I think there are 14 quarterbacks who are torn apart in the.
Yes.
And honestly, they don't really, they don't bother. Like with Quinn Ewers, they don't really tear him apart. They just say he's a game manager. He doesn't have the physical tools. You put him on next to Arch Manning and it like the film just pops different.
Yeah.
Whatever. But they don't spend a lot of. But what really,
a little different arch film
what really bothered me about the whole thing was they ripped apart quarterback after quarterback after quarterback after quarterback. And, oh, no, they did. Did they get to Seth? There he is, Seth. Let's hear what they have about Seth. I was going to say I was offended they didn't get to Seth, but I just didn't see him. The Hennigan guy was a little bit intriguing. Just an okay Senior Bowl week, but then came alive in the game. He's got size. He's got a lot of experience, even in that offense. They're throwing the ball a lot, even in that offense. They're throwing the ball a lot, not a dynamic presence or leader, but he does have size and accuracy and enough instincts to sneak in the bottom of that draftable group. Will he be drafted? It'd be really late. Seventh round or free agent, an AFC quarterbacks coach said. He's got kind of an unorthodox release. He's not really athletic. But you can do the quarterback run game, get 4 yards, and get down. He doesn't turn the ball over much. Game manager. He's not very talented as a thrower. Boy, I'm going to be offended on the part of Seth now, man. Anonymous quotes ripping our guy.
Yeah, but like to your point, though.
Not physically.
We could fill in the blank. That sounds exactly like Quinn Ewers.
Not physically good enough, but he knows how to play quarterback. He doesn't have a very good arm. Not a lot of juice. Not a good athlete. This is tough, man. You're sitting at home reading this? He doesn't have a very good arm, not a lot of juice, not a good athlete, but finds a way. Here you go. Finds a way to get completions, wins everywhere he's been. He'll hang around for a while because he's a good kid and smart.
The only one I'd push back on.
There you go.
I don't think he's unathletic.
No, but he's not an explosive athlete. I think where the guy says you can do the quarterback run game, get 4 yards.
Yeah.
I think that's, you can do that with Seth, but he's not going to be a weapon.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So we'll see if he gets drafted. Obviously, it'll be Saturday. The Titans signed Tyler Lockett. See that?
I did see this on the eve of the draft.
Calvin Ridley. They already have. They're going to obviously have their new quarterback. Get him a little help, right?
I would presume Cam is now going to move Tyler Lockett into his Mount Rushmore of wide receivers.
You would think Cam would move him into the Mount Rushmore.
That's an all-time quote, Calvin Ridley over AJ Brown.
That's so good.
I wonder where he's going.
So then we had news from the portal yesterday and from Ed Scott. The portal news was that Aaron Bradshaw has committed to Memphis, who had been a former incredibly highly recruited high school player. He's a big, and they need a big, so that's good.
So far, the track record of Big Ten bigs coming to Memphis, pretty solid.
There you go. Big Ten bigs that's positive. It feels like there's more to come. Doug McDaniel feels like he's the next one. He's the K-State little dude. He might be the next. Ed Scott, the Bird Brothers, had a reception for the University of Memphis last night at the Bank of Bartlett. And Ed Scott spoke. And, you know, you try to, you read these quotes and you try to figure, is it positive or not? Here we go. You can share, according, once the house settlement happens, you can share up to $20.5 million. This is what he said. I can tell you right now, we're not there. My hope is that we'll be about halfway there with the resources that we have. Based on the information I have available to me today, We will probably share more revenue with our student athletes, including our female student athletes, than any group of five school in the country, or we'll be at the top of that list. We'll probably be somewhere in the 50th percentile of Power Four universities. I'm not waiting. We're going to share that revenue immediately. We have offer letters available. We will be signing these student athletes to contracts. If they show up late for things, there's issues with that. We're going to address that. So if you're going to get money from us, it's not going to be for free. You don't just show up and get money. You've got to earn it, because you all had to earn the money that you provide us to support them. That's he saying that to the donors. Onward to the donors. I'm not going to ask you to donate to revenue share. I don't want to take your money and give it to student athlete and just put it in their pockets. What I do want you to do is take your money and provide an education to a young man or young woman that you can come see at a dinner and meet them and say, this is where my money went. Does that mean NIL money? Is that what he wants?
That's my interpretation, because basically what he's saying is if you're donating, you want to feel like you're getting something back for it, which to me, that is name, image, and likeness.
I think that's what he is. What he's talking about. So there you go. He also just talked about more about how competitive they will be. So, but in terms of that, is that heartening to you or discouraging to you? They'll be at the top of the group of five and somewhere in the 50th percentile of Power Four universities.
I would say it's neutral, because that's my interpretation of what I've been seeing. They're clearly, when you compare them to the rest of their league, they're rich.
Well, what the problem is this means it's totally different for football and basketball in this sense. If you are at the top of a group of five in football, that's great, because that's who you have always aspired to compete with.
Sure.
If someday you get into a better conference and whatever else, and honestly, to be 50th percentile in power in the Power Four, you don't have the resources of Power Four, but you're still 50th percentile. That's pretty damn impressive. And the people that you're actually competing with, you've got more money than. I mean, John Martin has a piece up today about the spring game Saturday and the football team. And even points out that even though there's a lot of things that are changing around the football team, when you have more resources than anybody else, there's no longer rebuilding years, right? There's just like, we have more resources. It is time. Like, Penny has won his conference now. Penny's won his has run a conference tournament. He's run the regular season conference. Like, whatever, the first thing you should do is dominate, because you're going to have more money and more resources than anybody else. We expect that. That's fair to expect, isn't it?
Yep.
But the problem is, for basketball, it has never been the aspiration to be the best group of five school. That has not been the aspiration. The aspiration for basketball is to compete for, I mean, it's amazing to say it, but it's to compete for national titles. Certainly to compete for Final Four, and is absolutely to compete to go to the Sweet 16. And so what we're seeing here is it is a absolute crisis for Memphis basketball in terms of its identity. It is always, we have thought of Memphis basketball, and you can argue it is or isn't a top 20 program, but they're 25 or 30 or whatever it is. But ever since I've been in Memphis, people have been debating, so is Memphis a top 25 program? And you can take either side of it, but that's the debate, right? The fact that we're debating it, it's close. Yes. It's somewhere in there, right?
With you.
And if you are now 50th percentile group of four, it means you are being outspent by most group of four programs. And we know just coming into it that you're not going to have the schedule or the exposure of the group of the Power Four programs. And so you don't have the money to blow them away, and you don't have the schedule. How are you going to compete with them? I think once upon a time, I literally used to say, if you were the Memphis basketball coach, you should go to the Sweet 16 every 4 or 5 years. And I said that because historically they did. That was, if you just started in the Gene Bartow era and went forward from there, basically it was every 4 years they went to a Sweet 16. I don't think that is a fair standard anymore.
I'm with you, and this is the concern. Like, part of the problem that I had with the reaction, and not problem's not the right word, but it took me by surprise to see how angry people were after the Colorado State game. I understand NCAA tournament games are brutal, and I understand losses suck. But I honestly thought...
I was surprised, too. The Fire Penny stuff. Right. The, like, it was crazy.
Like, he didn't have his point guard, and he didn't have his backup point guard. And, like, it was, in context of a loss, it was at least understandable.
And understandable after a very good year.
Correct.
About all you can expect at the University of Memphis in terms of what they did during the course of the year.
But what it also revealed to me is the standard is the standard. And I can sit there and say, you're not holding him to a fair standard.
I see. People have not shifted their expectations.
Correct.
Well, who the hell likes to shift their expectations downward?
I'm not pointing the finger.
I know. No, but it is a problem. It's like, you know, if you're used to getting a new car every 3 years and... you know, eating out twice a week, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, the new standard is new car every 10 years, and
you're looking used,
and we're going to be, you know, going to Costco and cooking for ourselves. Yeah. It takes some adjustment.
Yes.
All right. If you're looking for a new financial institution to get that new car, Leaders Credit Union would be the place to go. Leaders.cu.com/ESPN, and I can say that because we're customers over the Calkins household. Claire, when she moved to Memphis, went and signed up, and then her son Conroy went and signed up, and it's easy to do. All you got to do is download the app, and it's an unbelievable app. Now, you can't get cash out of an app. I've learned that. And so you're like, okay, well, it's Leaders Credit Union. It's not like a giant bank with ATMs. No. They have access to 85,000 ATMs with no fee ATM. So you can do that. They got an unbelievable app. And because it's a credit union, you'll discover as soon as you download the app that they got better technology, better service, better rates. It's a terrific place to take care of your financial future. It's Leaders Credit Union. They've got a Bartlett location, a branch in Bartlett, and they got a brand new one in Arlington. You can walk on in and see for yourself. But honestly, you could just sign up through the app. Leaderscu.com/ESPN. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.